Are you blessed this morning? Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in bringing us closer to God's throne as we lift our voices in praise and in adoration to our God. Last week, we talked about Zacchaeus, and I think it's interesting that Luke, here in the 19th chapter, follows the story of Zacchaeus with a story about, well, once again, being a good steward. It's interesting that when we read the story that Jesus tells his disciples here, that we find that there are three different attitudes or three different kinds of Christians, as I guess you could say, that are portrayed here in this story, in this parable that Jesus tells. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Luke, the 19th chapter, we'll just take a look at this story that Jesus told his disciples. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. That seems rather odd, isn't it, that somebody would go to another country to be appointed king? When I first read that, I looked at it again. I said, wait a minute, is that right? Did I read that right? Yes, that's what it says. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So I did a little digging around and looking at some of the history, and I found out that Herod's, the family that was the king of the Jewish nation, it was sort of like a puppet, you might say, actually did go to a foreign country, went to Rome to be proclaimed king of the Jews. So it wasn't totally out of the picture. This was actually something that actually had taken place. And he said, and Jesus went on and said, so he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. And he said, put this money to work until I come back. Verse 14. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. Now this guy's in trouble. He's not liked very much by the people that he is supposedly going to rule over. And they sent a delegation ahead of him to proclaim to the people who are going to somehow crown him king that they don't want him as their king. And so, in verse 15, he was made king, however, and returned home. And he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. Now, it's obvious that what Jesus is telling about here in the first part of this parable is a story about himself. It's about him going back to heaven. He's proclaimed the king, and the people don't want him to be their king. So there's kind of a parallel between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom, of course, that Jesus is talking about here in this parable. So this king goes away. Noble person goes away. He's proclaimed king. He comes back now to his kingdom, to the people that don't like him, that don't want him. Now remember, there were 10 servants that he gave money to. He gave them a gift. And he said, I want you to do something with this. Put this money to work. That's what it says here in my Bible. And so he looks for those people and he calls them back before him and he wants them to give account of what they've done. And the first one, verse 16 says, the first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. So that's pretty good, huh? He doubled his money. All right. The second one. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 17. Well done. This is the answer of the newly crowned king. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, "You take charge of 5 cities. Now you kind of get the picture here. These faithful servants are coming back. They're reporting to the king. They have doubled the money, or they have added to the money. They have done well, and he is giving them responsibilities in his new kingdom. Now we get to the third servant. Then another servant came and said, "Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow." His master replied, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow." Jesus, in this parable, is trying to help his disciples understand what the kingdom of heaven is all about. And yes, this is, you might seem a bit harsh. This parable might seem a little bit harsh. But lest we forget the importance, let me ask these two questions. The first question, of course, that Jesus asked, or that is asked in chapter 19, was the story of Zacchaeus. The question of, "Will you follow me?" Jesus is asking, "Will you follow me? Come down, Zacchaeus, for I'm going to your house." It is a question that all of us have been asked at one point in our journey in life. Will you follow Jesus? Will you accept him as your personal Savior? Do you love Jesus enough to follow him? The second point that is made by this story, this parable that Jesus has told here in chapter 19, is the second question. And this is the question: will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord? Now, I want to point out, accepting Jesus Christ as the Son of God, accepting him as the divine, as the Savior sent from heaven, is not something that necessarily makes you automatically a member or part of the kingdom of heaven. The Bible tells us that even the demons know who Jesus is. They call him by name. They know who he is. That doesn't make them people who are ready for the kingdom, does it? And so you see, just knowing who Jesus is, just accepting the fact that he is the Son of God, he is the Christ, he is the Savior, is not enough just to follow. But we need to place ourselves under his lordship. You see? Because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Now, placing yourself under the lordship of Jesus, we have to ask ourselves this question: do we love Jesus enough to live for him? Do you see how it goes from following to living? Zacchaeus knew who Jesus was. In his heart, according to what we studied last week, he had accepted the fact that Jesus was divine, that he was holy. And when Jesus called him down from the tree and said, "I'm going to your house," he followed Jesus. Oh, I wish we knew a little more about what went on at Zacchaeus' house. I know that it must have been a very special time as Zacchaeus sat there with Jesus. And face to face, Jesus explained to him, "Listen, Zacchaeus, it's not about your money. It's not about the fact that you've given everything you have to the poor and all this. It's about our relationship. It's about your relationship with me. That is what is going to save you." Making Jesus Christ the Lord of his life is what ultimately saved Zacchaeus. It is also what will ultimately save us. So often we have such a superficial experience. We say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the Bible, I believe in all the things that I've been told all my life, and I do my best. I come to church and I do the things that I feel I need to do. But there's just one thing that we often forget, and that is that question, that second question: do we love the Lord enough? Do we love Jesus enough to come under His authority, to live for Him, to live for Him? And so Jesus tells this story. And what we have here is, well, they're basically three examples of people who either accept Jesus as a Savior or who reject. The first example is really the ones that rejected and sent a message ahead of the king, or the man that was to be king. They sent a message to say, we don't want him. We reject him. We want nothing to do with him. We don't accept him as our Lord. We don't accept him as our king. Don't crown him king. Those are the people in the world today who absolutely reject Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They are those who have more important things in life to do, those who doubt and those who question the very existence of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's easy to handle because it's pretty much black and white. There are people that don't want anything to do with Jesus. They don't want anything to do with Christianity. They don't want anything to do with the belief system that and the values that you and I may have. The second group is portrayed by the servants who took the gift that the king gave them, and they used it in service. You see, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and we fall under His authority, we accept His Lordship, then we begin to live for Jesus. We begin to serve our Lord. And these two servants that were given this money, the first two that are portrayed here in this parable, are Christians who yes, they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they also fall under the authority of their Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, they become servants in the kingdom of heaven. And I pray and I hope all of us fall into that category. I don't know about you, but I enjoy being a Christian. I enjoy whatever opportunity I have to share the good news of salvation with anybody, anywhere. I don't care if it's at a hot rod show or on the side of the street, anywhere. If somebody is listening, I will share with them the good news of salvation. And that's what it means to be a Christian. The joy in your heart that you feel because of the fact that Jesus Christ loved you and came to this earth and died for you, that joy that wells up in your heart then becomes what motivates us to share the good news of salvation to others. And what happens then is the joy that we feel in our hearts begins to multiply. And the same thing that happened here with the servants who were faithful servants. They were willing to multiply what the king had given to them. They were trustworthy. They were faithful. They took the small things and they allowed those small things in their lives, that joy that they received from God, to multiply and to grow. And so we have the first two servants. Both of them seemed overjoyed. You can almost see it in your mind's eye. They're bubbling over with happiness. Look, Lord, you were gone for a while and you gave us this money and we served well. We did what you asked us to do. They're not trying to get you know, extra credit. They're not trying to get points or anything. They are just happy in the service of their Lord. And then we come to the third example. And it's the third servant. And this servant comes and says, I was afraid, and I know that you're a very exacting and a very, very just person, and I was afraid that maybe I would lose it, or I would put it in the stock market and it would crash and I would lose it all. So I just kind of tucked it away. I put it away. So here it is. Here it is. It's a sad story, isn't it? All three servants had the same opportunity to serve their master with joy and with happiness. And yet this one servant did not know the heart of his master. And because he didn't understand the heart of his master, he didn't understand true Christian service. And so the story ends with, actually, on a sad note, in a way, because the third servant that did nothing. Well, let's read it. Verse 22, it says, "I will judge you by your own words." These are not the words of the master. These are the words of the servant. "You wicked servant, you knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I do not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that what I came back I could have collected with interest?" You see, this third servant didn't trust his Lord. This third servant feared his Lord. And he was afraid of what might happen if he just didn't do things exactly right. This third servant was, well, somewhat of a legalist. And because he knew that, or at least he felt that his God, this master, this Lord, this king, was an exacting, harsh, mean person, he didn't know the heart of his own king. And because he didn't know the heart of the king, he was afraid to share the good news. And as a result, he did nothing. Verse 24. "Then he said to those standing by," the king said to those standing by, "take this mina away from him and give it to the one who had 10. "Sir," they said, "he already has 10. He replied, "I tell you that everyone who has more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away." As I said, it's kind of a sad ending, isn't it? All three servants had the same opportunities. They made decisions. Two decided to serve their Lord. Two decided that they would find ways to double the blessing that the Lord had given to them. And the third one did nothing. I believe that what Jesus is trying to say to those that were there that day, to his disciples, to those that were following him, is that he came to this earth to die on a cross so that you and I could have hope of eternal life. He gives us his life so that we could live eternally. He shed his blood so that we could have hope of the remission of our sins. He rose from the grave so that you and I could have hope of the resurrection and eternal life. And this is the gospel. This is the gift that our King has given to us. The question is, will we choose to live for him? Will we choose to share that that tremendous blessing, that tremendous gift that he's given to us. And in sharing that gift to others, it will be multiplied. 10, 20, 30, 40, 100, 1,000, 10,000 times. So that when the King returns, when our Lord Jesus Christ, when our Lord and our Savior comes back again, he's in a distant country where he's been proclaimed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming back. And the bottom line is there are really two responses. Those who say, Lord, here's what you gave me, and it's multiplied. Or those who say, we don't want to accept him as our king. You know, this really applies in a very special way to the body of Christ. When we bring this home to this congregation, in this community, this becomes very personal. Because Jesus came to this earth, he established himself as the head of the body, the head of the church. Even though there are some people that say they're the head of the church, the bottom line is Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And if we accept him as our Lord, if we accept him as not just a word that we use, Jesus Christ, but as our Lord, as our authority, as the King of Kings, as the one that has been crowned in heaven, the distant land, King of Kings, if we accept him and we come under his authority, then we become his servants. We serve his kingdom. And really, there are two kinds of people in this world, really. Those who like to be served, and those who like to serve. I think Jesus made it pretty clear when he was here that he fell under the category of those who like to serve. Jesus, in every day of his life here on this earth, served others. Jesus liked to reach out and touch other lives. He liked to bring joy and healing and happiness to the lives of those he came in touch with. He loved to serve humanity. Here he was, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, co-eternal with the Father. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth. He should have been placed on a throne with a crown on his head and a scepter. And he should have ruled this world. Instead, he came as a servant to serve us, so that we could learn what it really means to follow him and to live for him. I don't know about you, but it's probably one of the hardest lessons that any of us ever has to learn, and that is to learn to serve others. It doesn't come naturally. If you hang around little kids long enough, you know, you realize that. It starts at a very young age. We like to be waited on. We like to be served. We like to be king of the castle. But Jesus says, you know what? If you're going to be part of my kingdom, you had better learn to serve. Because that's the climate of the kingdom of heaven. And so when we gather together, when we come together as the body of Christ, there should never be any argument about who's going to serve who. It should be a natural thing that just sort of flows in the body of Christ. That should be the attitude. That should be the mentality. That should be the flavor of the Point Loma Church, is a church that serves one another. And the best teacher was Jesus Christ. He taught his disciples to serve one another. Did they figure it out? Well, not right away. Thank goodness that we're not a whole lot different than they are. But folks, I challenge us here at Point Loma. When we're together as a church body, Or when we're out in society, at our jobs, it's so easy to get cocky and sort of pushy and arrogant and you know, I'm the boss here, you know, I'm telling you what to do. Remember, that's not the attitude that Jesus had. The attitude that Jesus had was, how can I serve you best? It's totally opposite. Totally opposite to the way the world thinks. I guarantee you that. Do not get caught up in worldly thinking. Remember, Jesus came to serve. And we must learn to serve. I don't know about you, but I really, when Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven, I want him to say, Glenn Munson, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I do not want to receive what the third servant received. As we fellowship together, as we have our potlucks or whatever we do as a family, as a church family, let us remember to be a Christian is to learn to serve. Boy, things would be a lot easier, wouldn't they? So let's work on that as a church family. And God bless us as we continue to worship Him here this morning.